Labor, not to be rich. The Lord Jesus Christ taught a vital truth which ought to govern our thinking with regard to riches, labor, and the motivating force that drives our labors. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. This is the underlying principle of the proverb that we have taken as our title for this article. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. It is a major theme that runs throughout Scripture like a golden thread. Wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Material goods do not comprise a man's life, but wisdom does give life. Wisdom, therefore, is to be sought after like silver or hidden treasure. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. Such is the value placed upon it by those who follow the teaching of Scripture. Matthew chapter 13 recounts the Master's parable regarding this situation. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and buyeth that field. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Unlike Judas, who purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, this man purchases a field in order to obtain the treasure hidden in it. The lesson is plain. We must search out and obtain the hidden treasures of the Word. We shall return to this idea shortly. Labor a curse. Genesis chapter 3 recounts the circumstances of Adam and Eve's fall from a position of favor and grace, where everything they needed was freely provided in the Garden of Eden. Since their expulsion from the garden, a curse was placed upon them. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. We see then that labor and travail came upon man following his expulsion from the Edenic paradise. From the moment of man's birth till the day of his death, his life is filled with labor. As the preacher spake, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. And again, yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither, saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. This last passage demonstrates the vanity of labor in carnal things. The human constitution is never satisfied. There is a constant craving to obtain more and more. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Yet all that can be obtained is lost when the owner thereof descends into the grave. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 15. And the apostle, drawing upon this passage, expounds the implied exhortation. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. Because in the day of our death we can take nothing out of this world. Anything we might lay up by way of this world's goods can have no lasting profit. But the advantage of wisdom is that it is able to give life, the wisdom of the gospel, being able to make a man wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So the prophet spake, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 2. Here is an ironic situation. Men of the world work hard and go to great lengths to earn the riches of this life, yet so few seek after the wisdom that cometh from above. Students attend the serpent centres of learning, the colleges and universities that teach human philosophies and wisdom, yet so few engage the scriptures in their studies. Yet the Bible can give life, whereas the very best of man's wisdom is temporary, ending with death. Moreover, men and women who are motivated by money place themselves in a precarious situation. The love of money is stated by the apostle as being a root of all kinds of evil, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, the vanity of seeking material gain is expressed by the Lord himself. They labour not for the meat which perisheth, but of that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. John chapter 6, verse 27. Interestingly, in response to this statement, we read on, It then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. John chapter 6, verse 29. Here is the point. Instead of being covetous, our work is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the psalmist has it, Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Psalm 119, verse 36. Covetousness is idolatry, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, as it places mammon rather than God as being the focus of our hearts and endeavours. Labouring for spiritual food. Rather than to focus our endeavours to obtaining natural food, we must rather concentrate on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and then all these things will be added to us. We still need to labour in natural things, and that is the curse upon Adam that we all inherit, yet our earnest endeavours ought not to be in the pursuit of uncertain riches, but engaging in matters pertaining to the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. We therefore must seek the spiritual food that can nourish us in the ways of truth and righteousness. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. And we must progress on to solid food as we mature in the truth. But solid food belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. There is a vital need then to labour in spiritual things. Hence, Paul exhorts Timothy to give those who do so added respect. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially they who labour in the word and doctrine, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. This is why we respect the labours of our earlier brethren John Thomas and Robert Roberts, not out of any misguided adoration, but rather because they were good Bible students. Hence, according to the Apostle, they ought to be counted worthy of double honour. But labouring in the word and doctrine is not something to be left to the more academically minded. It is a work in which all the called must engage. Study too. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is the work of God that we might believe, and we can only believe in something that we know about. Hence, we must engage much effort in searching out the hidden treasures of the Word, else we will need to be ashamed at the coming of the Lord. Riches and poverty. According to Proverbs, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. This is that class of men who suppose that gain is godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. They go to great endeavors to make themselves rich in this world's goods, yet in real terms, have nothing. The ecclesia at Laodicea were like this. They labored to be rich and thought they were not needy, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. In this age of spiritual darkness, a person's status and respect in life is largely determined by his success in worldly matters. A person who has a large and luxurious house and an expensive car, and sumptuous raiment and delightful food, is said to be truly successful. But whilst it is not wrong to have riches, indeed Abraham was a very rich man, we must not trust in them, or keep building bigger barns to accommodate them. Compare Luke chapter 12, verse 18. Rather, we must use all that we have in the Lord's service, knowing that our labors in the Lord will not be in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. By contrast, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as one who was rich, yet became poor, being despised and rejected of men. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. In the Lord Jesus Christ we can obtain true riches. He is the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. He was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. And his brethren, who lay down their lives in faithful service, can be glorified in him. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. In conclusion, therefore, we find that by seeking after the spiritual food that gives life, the way of the wise is to search after the treasure of knowledge contained within the Word, showing himself to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The way of the wise is to labor in spiritual things, to lay up treasure in heaven. Luke chapter 18, verse 22. There are two ways before us. The broad way that leads to destruction for those who sow to the flesh, and the narrow way that leads to life for those who sow to the Spirit. Which way will we choose? Wisdom is profitable to direct. By Brother Christopher Maddox.